Good morning. Welcome to your health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week the topic is headaches. My guest is Dr. Barry Sears. He's a chiropractic physician. Good morning.
Morning.
So according to the World Health Organization, headaches are among the most common disorders of the nervous system. They estimate that 47% of the adult population worldwide have a headache at least once a year. So that's almost half of the world's population, talking about adults, and that a small number of those people actually get an appropriate diagnosis. They estimate that headaches are underestimated, underrecognized, and undertreated throughout the world. So what's a headache?
Well, there's all kinds of controversy in some ways, because, I mean, headaches can be categorized as a wide variety of things, but they've got three major categories that show up, and those classifications are basically something called a primary headache, a secondary headache, or things due to other causes, such as neurological conditions or some kind of internal damage to the brain. But the most common one is that, you know, the people think of as a tension headache.
Which
I've got
I think
some pain in the back of my neck or in other kinds of general complaints.
Right. So in the primary headaches, they've got tension headache, migraine headache, and cluster headaches. And the one that brings most people to the emergency room is a migraine by a significant amount. Most people with a tension headache don't do anything about it because it's self-limiting most of the time and goes away. I think tension headache is like a basket case of BS.
Well, the migraines are also the ones that are often totally debilitating. A person completely cannot function because the feels like somebody's boring a hole in their head or something to that effect. And many times those are the ones that are real severe. One of the treatment methods is just to really blast them with some heavy-duty painkillers just to kind of put them out of their misery for a while and wait for the headache to pass.
Right. So the idea of a primary is supposed to be it's something from the head, but the majority of tension headaches actually come from the neck and the upper back muscles being tight. And, you know, that's our department. That's the chiropractic field. That's what we fix. And, of course, forever, chiropractors have been know that if someone comes in with a headache and we adjust their neck, especially the upper neck, the headaches go away usually instantly, or they're going away.
Well, there's also the nature of what they, you know, these causal effects to headaches. Some of the ones seem to be a vascular response, like you were mentioning that you found migraines to be often initiated by particular triggers. And you could find certain things that would set off a headache if you can work on methods of trying to prevent these triggers from producing the onset. You can a lot of times prevent the headache from ever arriving. And the migraines are really in that category where so much of it's just a heavy-duty drug medication trying to curb them, whereas seemingly there's some other things you could do to try to prevent them from coming on to begin with.
Well, absolutely. Actually, that's the same for tension headaches. I mean, too many of us spend too much time sitting, especially sitting in front of a computer, mousing, and people's posture and the tension that they're holding in their arm, shoulder, back, neck, while they're doing all those hours of Facebook and email and writing reports, takes a toll and causes a lot of pain in the upper back and ending up in the neck and the head. And those are certainly also preventable.
Well, you also have some of these other kinds of headaches, like a sinus headache. If you have a cold or a flu or some kind of an infection, that's also categorized as a headache. Could be caused by an infective bacteria mm-hmm. or something within the sinuses themselves. The other big thing that seems to fall into a sometimes categorized as a tension headache is also the cervicogenic headaches caused by such things as a whiplash injury and an automobile accident. And that kind of
right.
a thing can cause some damage to the muscles and nerves in the back of the skull and set off sometimes much more long-term pains that have a headache associated with them. Mm-hmm. A lot of neck pain, lack of ability to move the neck, stiffness, discomfort, and then many of those kinds of headaches have a pain that comes away over the back of your skull, sometimes even over the top of your eye, due to the occipital muscles in the back of the skull and where mm-hmm. the muscles get yanked on really severely in a car wreck.
Right. Well, it's pretty common after a car wreck of pretty much any type that a person will have a headache. And they could have a headache from two things. They could have a headache from what you were describing, which would be a neck injury, or they could have a concussion, which causes a different kind of a headache. And they're, a lot of people can separate the two kinds of headaches. They may have both at the same time. And usually one starts to go away before the other one.
And these kinds of headaches, some of the concussion type of headaches can also have long-term consequences way past the point where you typically feel a headache thing. Many of these people can have a long-term disorientation, have some changes in their thought processes, and sometimes
they can't concentrate.
Well, you can watch some of these people come in and they have this blank, you know, thousand-mile stare on their faces. They're just kind of completely out of it because, again, this pain can be quite overwhelming. And they just can't even quite see straight or think straight for quite some time. And then they can have a variety of other symptoms going along with that, too. Sometimes even, you know, radiating pains down into their hands or some other unusual sorts of things. Like I've got one patient now who has even some kind of a visual sight disturbances due to a concussion headache mm-hmm. or a concussion injury.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should say that you can get a concussion without hitting your head. If you have an abrupt change of speed of your body, for instance, you're driving along and suddenly you stop very suddenly, or somebody hits you suddenly, your brain is this soft mass inside a very hard skull. You stop, but your brain doesn't. It keeps going and it smacks the whatever direction, you know, that you keep going. The brain keeps going in the direction you were moving, and then it smacks it after it hits on one side, it actually smacks on the opposite side. And if it's a hard enough hit, it could go back and forth for a while and you can have multiple hits.
There are these acceleration, deceleration kinds of injuries. You speed something up really quickly and then stop it really quickly. You have quite a jolting effect.
Right. And definitely the injury can be significant or minor. It can appear minor to begin with and become more problematic over a period of weeks. So sometimes people don't even connect the minor, what they thought was a minor car accident, with these significant problems with change in mood, concentration, ability to think, make decisions, normal activities, and then a headache. And it's kind of a constant, horrible headache.
Well, the other thing to be clear about with headaches, or can be another quite a few different other causes, some quite severe, such as bleeding in the brain, a tumor, some kind of other neurological damage, like some people would necessarily think of it as a headache per se, but facial pains, trigeminal neuralgias, things of this nature that are damaged to the nerves themselves. Also, you could even have, you know, optical things or olfactory things. Smelling mechanisms or visual mechanisms could be categorized as a headache, too, since they're in your head.
Right.
And or then, what's another one? Temporomandibular joint problems in the jaw can lead to temporal headaches on the side of the skull as well. So this
know,
is sort
actually,
of a big catch-all category for tons of things that can cause you pain.
Damage in the jaw can cause neck pain, shoulder pain, head pain, face pain, and that is often not diagnosed. People will have all kinds of treatments to other places, and the problem is in the jaw. So it's a whole other kind of headache that needs attention. I had someone yesterday call me and say that she got rid of her headaches she went online and discovered that it sounded like she had a jaw problem. She did some jaw exercises and her headache went away. So there are tons of things to do.
Well, when we were looking at some of the statistics, this is sort of an online fact, they were talking about tension headaches affecting about 90% of the headaches people suffer tend to be categorized into a tension headache problem. Another interesting thing about migraines is that when migraines occur younger in life before puberty, it's seemingly somewhat equally distributed between men and women. However, by the time puberty comes around and if the migraines still continue, that 6% of men tend to develop migraines, whereas 18% of women. So it's three times more likely that a woman will have a migraine headache than a man later in life. Mm-hmm. Another kind of headaches, these cluster headaches that tend to focus around the eye, causing a real intense pain, they only affect 0.1% of the population. And yet when they're bad enough, they really can be sort of, you know, this screaming kind of a
And that's something, if people don't have them under control, they bring people to the emergency room because they're overwhelming. Even though headaches are a small amount of the visits to emergency room, bad headaches bring people in.
And there can be many repeat visits because these things are so debilitating, right. And they can come on a recurring cycle every month or even more quickly. So they might show up in the emergency room every month.
Absolutely. I know people that do it. It's a big drain on our system, and the trick is to figure out the cause. Many headaches can be caused by it's lifestyle. Most headaches have to do with lifestyle, whether it's a migraine or a tension headache. And you have to figure out, if you figure out what's causing it, then you stop having them. For instance, people that have monthly migraines can be helped tremendously by cleaning out the liver. So we're talking about menstruating women, and they drink carrot juice, eat beets, greens on a regular basis, like several times a week. Within 3 months, headaches, the migraine may completely stop or may decrease significantly. And over time, figuring out, you know, what that person really needs to eat, avoid, or whatever, they stop having the triggers. Triggers can be anything from a cup of coffee to missing a meal to being around your mother-in-law that you can't stand. I mean, it can be a lot of things. So you figure it out. Okay, I don't go to Christmas dinner. You know, I stay home.
Or your own children can give you headaches.
Well, that's certainly true. There's a whole classification of headaches called medication overuse headaches. And ironically, these are people that have chronic headaches that use medication on a regular basis. And the medication is actually causing a secondary headache. The estimations from the World Health Organization are that this affects up to 5% of the population. So it's pretty significant. And these headaches are considered oppressive, persistent, and often the worst when you first wake up. And they affect people of all ages. So what you think might be fixing your problem may actually be causing another problem. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about headaches. If you want to join the conversation, give a call here to 503-325-0010. You're listening to Your Health, and my guest is Dr. Barry Sears. We'll be right back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Dr. Barry Sears, chiropractic physician in Astoria, and we're talking about headaches. And in the line of tension headaches or headaches that come from tightness in the neck and the upper back, it's known that relaxing the neck and the upper back muscles can get rid of a lot of headaches, and adjusting the neck can get rid of a lot of headaches. Well, in the early 90s, some anatomists in Denmark found a new finding that explained this phenomenon of tight neck causing headaches. What they found were teeny, teeny little tendons that were from neck muscles that went up through the big hole in the head, the foramen magnum, and attached to the dura, which is the covering of the brain. And they theorized that tightness in the neck would pull on those little fibers and traction the dura and cause a headache. And when they published their work, they invited the anatomists of the world to do their due diligence and look it up. And what they realized was that they had been cutting through these because they were so teeny that they were missed for 2,000 years of people cutting up people and describing what the anatomical structures were. And it's estimated that 80% of headaches are of this mechanism. And so these headaches are really easy to get rid of. You fix what's wrong with the neck, and the headaches go away. And sometimes people don't just have a pure migraine. They actually have a neck component as well. So sometimes things are a lot more complicated. So if a headache isn't going away with one treatment, you might consider another treatment.
Well, it's also one of the things about headaches that's so mystifying at times, because the brain tissue itself is not sensitive to pain. The blood vessels inside the brain are sensitive to pain. The membranes wrapped around the brain are sensitive to pain. And so these things are actually what are categorized as nociceptors, things that are pain sensitive. It's not actually the brain tissue itself, which is also why it's somewhat baffling.
Which is how the migraine got classified as a vascular headache, because it's thought that there's increased pressure in the arteries causing pain.
Well, some of the treatments tend to try to relax that tissue, and sometimes it's effective. It just kind of depends on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. Each person tends to have their own particular method that might bring on the headaches, and you might find a variety of ways to treat it as well. If we go back to what we tend to see the most of, the cervicogenic headaches, we talk a little bit about that. There's quite a few layers of muscle in the neck that get damaged in a whiplash injury, and they call it a whiplash because it's like snapping a whip. You whip something backwards and forward very quickly. And what's amazing, if you watch films of car wrecks, even at slow speed, if you slow down the film to very, very slow speed motion, even at 5 miles an hour, you can see a head really whip backwards and forwards very rapidly, snapping the neck. And that's what's going to cause a lot of the damage. And it can even be made worse if the person's neck happens to be rotated.
Well, as in, at the time of impact, I was talking to my passenger.
Which is a common way people get hurt.
And of course, the passenger was facing the driver. So both people have rotation, and then they hit this very complex injury with the brain going at angles, the neck moving at angles, all those neck ligaments getting overstretched, and then those rubber bands are just floppy.
Or even more severe damage can happen in these kinds of accidents, where people can actually also rupture one of the cervical discs that's between the vertebras, which, if that happens, can cause a lot more instability and also lead to radiating neurological complaints. And in the worst case scenario with those, they may have to be surgically corrected.
You know, one of the things that people often think is that they can't have this if they are in a low-speed accident. But there's a famous case of a rancher in, I think it was Montana or Wyoming, who was rear-ended. He was in his big truck at 5 miles per hour. He was at a stop sign. He was in an older truck with no headrest. His head hit the glass. He had a stroke. He had permanent injury. He couldn't communicate with his wife. He called his wife to come and help him, but he couldn't communicate because he was having a stroke at the time, and that delayed his getting any care. I don't know what happened to the person behind him. It was a very big lawsuit. But that shows that at 5 miles per hour, I mean, you can have significant life-changing injuries. And, of course, he had a terrible headache.
Well, another unusual thing is you can have four people in a car, and each one is hurt in a different manner, which also seems quite remarkable. Whether you're, you know, or the other one would be, you know, which way are you hit at the impact? Are you hit, you know, dead on from the back? Are you hit at a glancing blow? Are you T-boned? We have a much better ability to flex forward and backwards relatively smoothly compared to going laterally, as you don't have very much give at all if you move laterally. And then if you rotate and move laterally at the same time, you can have even more extensive damage.
Well, right. So a lot more of your joints and your ligaments are at their end of stretch. So then you're more likely to rupture them.
And another thing sometimes is the overriding pain that a person have often might be the thing everybody looks at, such as I remember a case with a person having a terrible shoulder pain. And so somebody's looking at the shoulder and does all these studies and they find nothing wrong with the shoulder. Oh, your shoulder's fine. But nobody asks, well, are you hurting anyplace else? And then you might go, wow, okay. Well, is your neck hurting? Oh, well, yeah, you know, I was in a car wreck, and my neck was whiplashed, but nobody ever asked me that question. It says, well, what happens if you turn and rotate your neck? And the person, I remember having this happen, when you turn the neck, his arm and shoulder would have this intense pain, and this was a case of a ruptured cervical disc. If you don't ask the right question, sometimes you'll be going down the wrong path.
And the same thing with headaches.
Same thing. You can
go down the wrong path if you don't ask the right questions. And apparently, on a worldwide basis, we doctors do not ask the right questions because headaches are incredibly underdiagnosed and underreported. And
well, one other thing, if a person is injured or has a kind of a headache that just won't go away, you may try quite a few different forms of treatment trying to help the headaches. And if it won't improve, then you may have to go into more extensive studies trying to look inside what is going on, such as do you need an MRI of the brain or a CT scan of the brain to look for some things, because a tumor or a hemorrhage or some other kind of severe damage, you cannot see via an x-ray or other sorts of methods, and you may have to go to more extensive studies that may eventually show you what is going on.
Now, obviously, one of the things that we look for is a person who tells us that they are having the worst headache they've ever had. Those are the ones that are concerning. Those are the ones we don't ignore. But those mean something potentially very serious is happening. And so those are ones where we'd want to get imaging right away.
Well, one of the common, well, severe types, it's uncommon, but a severe type of headache would be this a hit against the head and having internal bleeding where you form a hematoma as it bleeds and it starts pushing brain matter out of the way, producing this not only just a severe headache, but it could produce a lot of other bizarre symptoms, motor effects. Your muscles don't work right anymore. You may not be able to talk. It may feel like you're having a stroke or some other things. Or another one, stroke kinds of things where you actually have a vascular incident where something ruptures inside the brain, causes extensive bleeding, and usually leads to really severe symptoms.
Right. And those are ones that the headache is so awful that gets people to the doctor, which is exactly what they need to do. They need to be in the emergency room immediately and, you know, have treatment right away. So headaches are, it's a huge topic. It's almost overwhelming.
A lot to cover in a short period of time.
Yeah. Headaches are a headache. And there have been lots and lots of studies. Just looking up tension headaches, I think tension headaches at PubMed.gov, which is the federal government's compendium of the world's medical literature that anyone can access, had something like 3,000 entries, you know, of published studies. And, you know, people have been comparing massage of the neck versus manipulation, and manipulation was more effective than massage for that. Then other studies have said, well, there's not enough good studies out there to really say that manipulation works, but any chiropractor will tell you it does.
And it's a big marketplace for over-the-counter medications. Most of the headaches that are treated in the world are treated by somebody going and buying something to take. Tylenol, Advil, Aleve, Excedrin, something like that. And many times, if the severity is not that bad, those medications will palliate calm down and they'll feel better and the headache goes away and then they just kind of go about their business.
Right.
It's really the headache that won't leave you alone that becomes the big concern.
Or it comes back every other day or every third day.
And yeah. It's always a good idea if something like that occurs to, you know, get evaluated and make sure you don't have something more pressing involved, such as, you know, the worst things of all would be something like brain tumors or some other horrible thing mm-hmm. that's going on.
But, you know, in all the years we've been in practice, I've seen two brain tumors of all the headaches. And,
well,
you know, we've seen thousands
very,
of
very,
headaches.
Very, very rare. And, I mean, I've had people come in and have epileptic seizures, too, sometimes, you know. It's,
and those are rare as well.
These things are very rare or... yeah, it's just, it's one of those kinds of things that's a big challenge at times.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you. My guest.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Nice talking to everyone.
Yes, Dr. Barry Sears. I'm Ann Goldine.